Good morning, Oregon. Top of the Wednesday morning to you, and thank you for loading me down and queuing me up again. I'm Finn J.D. John, bringing you another daily episode of the Offbeat Oregon History Podcast, which every weekday brings you another story from the archives of the Offbeat Oregon History syndicated newspaper column. Full details are at offbeatoregon.com. Check it out. But first, sit back and relax and let me tell you the story of the biggest meteorite ever found in the U.S., except for the one that's probably a hoax. That would be the Port Orford meteorite, which is probably doesn't exist. Although it might. It might. But this one that we're going to talk about this morning definitely exists. It's in New York today at the American Museum of Natural History, and there are replicas of it in a couple different places in Oregon. And it is a great story. How do you steal a 16-ton meteorite? Well, I'm about to tell you how you steal a 16-ton meteorite, but I will tell you one thing. It's a spoiler alert here. You do not steal a 16-ton meteorite and not leave any tracks. Okay, so the story was first published on January 18th, 2010, under the headline, Biggest Meteorite Ever Found in the U.S. Came from West Lynn, Oregon. Here we go. The old playground doctrine of finders keepers does not apply to meteorites. At least that's what the Oregon Supreme Court said in 1905 when deciding who got to keep the Willamette meteorite, the largest meteorite ever found in the United States, before or since. Here's a story. Ellis Hughes, a settler in the West Lynn area near the Tualatin River, was out prospecting for minerals with a friend in 1902. Hughes bounced his rock hammer off a projecting piece in the forest and got a metallic ting instead of a rocky chop. Well, the two were really excited at first. They figured that this was a reef sticking out of the top of a massive vein of iron that could make them both very wealthy. But they soon made two sobering discoveries. First, it was an isolated block. And second, it wasn't on Hughes' property. They'd strayed over onto the neighboring plot owned by, ironically, given that the meteorite was more than 90% iron, the Oregon Iron and Steel Company. Hughes and his friend kept mum, and Hughes tried to buy the land. Nothing doing. So, Hughes and his wife and his 15-year-old stepson toiled for a solid 3 months, dragging the 32,000-pound mass across 3/4 of a mile of forest floor and onto Hughes' property. This done, he announced his find, built a shed over it, and started charging admission to see it. I haven't been able to learn how the Oregon Iron and Steel Company found out that the meteorite had been stolen. Probably Hughes' attempts to buy the land aroused some suspicion and prompted company officials to investigate. In any case, figure it out they did, and filed a lawsuit demanding that Hughes give it right back. Which he did. After first fighting it all the way up to the Oregon Supreme Court in late 1905, just in time for Oregon Iron and Steel to haul it up to Portland for the 1905 Lewis and Clark Exposition, at which it was displayed proudly and drew much notice. Afterward, it was purchased by Sarah Dodge and donated to the American Museum of Natural History in New York City, where it remains to this day. The meteorite apparently fell on a glacier during the last ice age. During the Missoula floods, the ice in which it was embedded formed an iceberg and roared down the Columbia River Gorge, eddying back up into the Willamette Valley and finally being deposited on top of the sediment when the ice melted away. It's composed of 91.65% iron, 7.88% nickel, and 0.21% cobalt, and 0.09% phosphorus. In Oregon, there are two replicas of the meteorite on display, one at the United Methodist Church in West Lynn, near where it was initially found, and the other one outside the University of Oregon's Museum of Natural and Cultural History on the U of O campus in Eugene. The local Native American tribes had treasured the meteorite, calling it, I'm going to totally butcher this one in terms of pronunciation, so I apologize in advance to any of you Native American speakers out there. Tomanowos, visitor from the moon. In 1990, they sued for its return, but they came to an agreement with the museum in 2000 that let them come and visit the meteorite in New York and hold private ceremonies around it. The deal also says that if the museum ever takes it off permanent display, the tribes will get it back. A member of the State House of Representatives weighed in 7 years later by introducing a bill that would demand its return to the state of Oregon. The tribe said that no one had talked to them about it, but they were happy with the arrangement they'd made and did not support the new bill. Apparently, they trusted the arrangement they'd made with the museum, with the assistance of the judicial system, more than they trusted the State House of Representatives of the state of Oregon. And I really can't imagine any possible scenario in which that would not be exactly the correct call. In any case, as Willamette Week put it in an editorial later that year, quote,
"Neither the bill nor the 16-ton meteorite went anywhere."
Well, that's it for today's episode. If you're listening for the first time and want more information about Offbeat Oregon, you can get everything at our central website at offbeatoregon.com. You'll find about 180 columns going back to 2008 when I first started doing these, plus links out to the audio and text feeds on RSS and iTunes, and to the Facebook page and Twitter feed if you'd like to get in on the conversation online. The website's also where you'll find full citations to sources for this story, which include a book by Cordelia Sanyeur, the American Museum Journal, and the AbsoluteAstronomy.com website. Our theme music is a track titled Old Man's Waltz by the Atlas String Band, written by Carmen Ficarra, atlasstringband.com. Coming to Corvallis? Drop me a line. Let's grab a cup of coffee. I love geeking out with fellow history buffs. I'm at Finn at offbeatoregon.com, or if you do Twitter, at offbeatoregon. Well, that's it for today, so thanks for listening and have a great day.